Good morning. Well, today is the day that everybody's been waiting for a long time. Very big deal. Anticipation. Just, how's it going to turn out? But yet, I don't think a rodent can predict the weather. I bet you thought I was going to talk about something else, didn't you? Well, for what it's worth, he didn't see a shadow, so that's supposed to be an early spring. But actually, here in Quartzsite, our spring starts usually about the second week in January, so that doesn't really apply to us. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for Lord, your presence here and your word. We thank you, Lord, that you instruct us, you teach us, you guide us, you lead us. You fill us, Lord, with your spirit and with your love. Lord, we just pray once again, Lord, for your presence here. We pray, Lord, that you would take control of this service, this sermon, Lord, that it be yours, that everything that's spoken would be yours. Lord, bless your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark 6, 1 through 6. We've read it once before. I'm going to read it again. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Alexander McLaren, in his exposition of the book of Mark, wrote, it is possible to live too near a man to see him. Familiarity with the small details blinds most people to the essential greatness of any life. So these fellow villagers of Jesus in Nazareth knew him too well to know him rightly. As they talked him over, they knew his wisdom and his mighty works, but all the impression that these would have made was neutralized by their acquaintance with his former life. He was in Nazareth. This is a place where he grew up. All these people knew him. And yet when he went back there, he had, in the book of Luke, it tells us of the first time that he returned to Nazareth. And they rejected him then too. In fact, it ended up that they wanted to throw him over a cliff. Yet he went back. Why did he go back? He didn't have a very good welcome before. Because he was on a mission. Because he had something to do. Because he gives us second chances, doesn't he? Even though they'd rejected him before. You know, maybe they'd heard about the mighty works he'd done, and you can read about them in the previous chapter. Word would have spread. They didn't have telephones or television or internet, but yet word of mouth would spread. They would have heard. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. He gave them a second chance. That was verse 1. Verse 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, Jesus was an observant Jew. He was born into a Jewish culture, and he followed the law. On the Sermon on the Mount, he said that he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. Why did he fulfill the law? Because we couldn't. We can't keep the law. Adam and Eve were given one little rule at the very beginning, and they couldn't obey it, could they? They couldn't follow it. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" He didn't study at the University of Jerusalem. Of course, there was no University of Jerusalem. He didn't study at the feet of Gamaliel, as the Apostle Paul did. His parents didn't pay for expensive tutors for him. No online Bible studies were provided to him. The fact that Jesus possessed the wisdom and knowledge that he did and that he performed mighty works, that should have been a clue to them about who he was. Why hadn't Jesus revealed these attributes before? Maybe because he wasn't a show-off. Maybe because his time had not yet come. Verse 3, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Mark alone refers to Jesus as a carpenter. It's the only place in the Bible that that's mentioned. Matthew refers to him as the son of a carpenter. He carried on the family business. He learned it, and he was probably, I believe he was, would have been faithful to it, because he is faithful. He's called the son of Mary. Once again, Matthew refers to him as the son of a carpenter, but here is the son of Mary. Some people think this is a hint about what people thought about his legitimacy of his birth. Or it could be that Joseph had died by then, and that's how they knew him. Natural eyes could not see him as he really was. If we lived in those days, would we have seen him as he really was? Would it have been easier for us to know him? If we'd lived in Nazareth at that time, and he came to visit and to teach, we might have said what they said. We might have said something like, "Oh, that's just little Jesus. He used to live in that house over there. That building behind the house, that's a carpenter shop." Not much has changed, really, has it? People still reject who he is because they don't know him. Isaiah 53:2 says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." John 1:10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." As I said before, it hasn't really changed a whole lot, has it? There's still a lost world out there. Verse 4, "But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." Is he providing them with an excuse for their unbelief? Or maybe he's just being charitable. He referred to himself as a prophet. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses talks about God told him that I will raise up a prophet from among you, and his voice you will hear. That's not just a statement of what's going to be. Excuse me. That's not just a statement of what's going to be. It also tells us our responsibility, doesn't it? Listen to him, that we should follow him. They recognized his wisdom, acknowledged his mighty works, but they didn't believe in him. The Pharisees said, show us a sign, and we'll follow you. Show us a sign. But we walk by faith, not by sight, don't we? Jesus didn't always make it easy, and God, well, of course, Jesus is God, doesn't always make it easy to have faith. We have to believe first. Verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Could not? Because he wasn't able? Maybe he couldn't bring himself to reward their unbelief. Maybe it wasn't according to his standards, according to his ways. Maybe he couldn't because they wouldn't receive it. How does salvation work? If we won't receive it, then he can't save us. Because there is a decision involved, isn't there? With God, there's always a decision. It says it saved that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. There's always a remnant, isn't there? There's always a few. I don't know what percentage of all the people that have ever lived are going to be in heaven. Sometimes I think it's going to be very few. Sometimes I think it might be a lot. I don't know. But I'm just glad that it's going to be me there. Somehow he got into my thick skull and into my hardened heart. Verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around the villages teaching. He marveled at their unbelief. There's only two times in the Bible where it talks about Jesus marveling. One time was the faith of the centurion, and here it's the unbelief of his former neighbors. And he went around the villages teaching. Matthew Henry said, if we cannot do good even where we would, we must do it where we can. And be glad if we have any opportunity, no matter even if it's just in a small village, to do what he sent us to do. I'm going to go back to verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. The NIV says his disciples accompanied him. The New King James Version, the New American Standard Version says his disciples followed him, past tense. But here, in the King James Version, and I like this version, I like the way this is said. It says, his disciples follow him. Present tense. Because it's still true today. It's about following Jesus. That song that we did today. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That hasn't changed. It wasn't just his disciples that follow him. I have a list of people that he told to follow him. And I'm going to comment on each one as I read it, what it should mean to us, or what it tells us. To Peter, John, James, and Andrew, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What does that mean to us? It means there's work to do in the kingdom. Follow him. To the reluctant would-be disciple, he said, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. To us, that says, leave the world behind. Follow him. To his disciples, he said, take up your cross and follow me. To us, that says, whatever the cost, follow him. To Matthew, the tax collector, he said, follow me. To us, that says, leave your past behind. Follow him. To the rich young ruler, he said, get rid of all your stuff and follow me. To us, it says, cast away your worldly desires and follow him. To Peter, after Peter had denied him three times, and God was and Jesus was restoring the relationship with him, he said, follow me. To us, that says, your shame was nailed to his cross. Follow him. And again to Peter, never mind about him. Follow me. Keep your focus on Jesus. And even if none go with you, follow him. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. Yeah, I like the little nuggets that I find in the Bible, and I found one here. Where's Jesus now? Well, he's in our heart, but he's also ascended to heaven, didn't he? So he went out from thence. And he came to his own country. And we get to follow him and be with him in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and get you. So you will be with me always. God bless you. This morning is Communion Sunday. And I'm going to ask George and Bill to come up and pass out the elements. And while they're passing it out, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. It says, let a man examine himself, and that's what I'm going to ask you all to do. Examine yourself and those things you should get rid of. Just talk to God about it and give them to him. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, we sing. Only he can do it. So while the elements are being passed out, I'm going to ask everybody to do that. Examine their heart and pray for forgiveness and pray for restorations of relationships and anything that hinders you from your relationship with the Lord. Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? No. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for this bread, Lord, that represents your body that you gave for us, for our salvation. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed on that cross for us, to cleanse us of our sins. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you. You may drink the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And he is coming back, isn't he? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the promise. The promises you've given us. The promise of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for the price you paid to gain that for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. And I just pray, Lord, that you just go with each one of us as we go our way. And keep us safe. And keep us in your care until we meet again. And now, don't leave yet. We have a tradition here.
Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Thank you all for coming.